Beginning current daf Masechet Seif and daf Chav Zayin. We begin at the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara will quote a statement from Rabbi Yochanan that will have relevance to a statement that was made in our Mishnah. So the Gemara begins. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Ein lemeidin min haklalos. He gives a general rule, and this general rule says that we do not learn from general rules. That is, wherever it says in the Mishnah, klal, this is the rule, we don't say that necessarily this is it, ironclad, that this is it, and there are no exceptions. And that he was meticulous and says that this is exactly how it's always going to be, and there's no exception. And it's not true, there are exceptions, as Rabbi Yochanan explains, even where the Tana went so far to say, well, this is general, except for this and this and this such a case, it doesn't make a difference, because you would think to say that, well, if he's being specific and saying that besides these cases, he obviously was being precise, and saying that these are the only exceptions, that there are no other exceptions, you know, even in such a case, you do not learn out from there, because maybe the Tana left over and they didn't go and delineate all the different cases that would be the exclusion. So although it's a general rule, there are exceptions. So now the Gemara makes a diyuk, it makes an inference, midikama. And the fact that Yechlin said in his statement, he says, Vafila b'makim shenema b'chutz, even in a place where chutz, where except, is said, mechlal delav hachakai, obviously that he was not saying his statement regarding our Mishnah. And that is, when he said his statement, he wasn't saying it here, because here it actually says chutz in our Mishnah. So from his statement, where he says that the general rule is not going to be totally exclusive to say that this is what it is, and he was saying that even in a place where it says chutz, obviously here he was not going on, because if he was talking about over here, he wouldn't have to say even in a place that it says chutz, because that's exactly the case that he's talking about. So if he was referring to our Mishnah, that hey, wait a second, although the Mishnah says a general rule, don't take it for granted that there are no exceptions, he shouldn't have said even in a place where this is the place where it says even except. So therefore, the Gemara says, hey, what was Rabbi Yochanan referring to when he says, oh, although it says a general rule, there are exceptions. And you know what? Even in a place, which obviously refers to somewhere else, where it says chutz, even there is not going to be ironclad. So what was he referring to? So the Gemara says, Hasam Koi, he's referring to a Mishnah Masechet Kedushin. That the Mishnah says over there, kol mitzvah saseches man gerama. Any mitzvah, positive mitzvah, that's time-bound, that has a specific time that makes it required in that time area. Men are obligated in those commandments, and women are exempt, as the first parak in Masechtas Kedushin explains the reasoning how we learned that out, that Nashim HaPater from a mitzvah aseches man grama, if it's a time-bound mitzvah, that's why it's only during that specific time area, then women are exempt. Vishaloy hazer man grama, and the Mishnah says that if it's not a time-bound mitzvah, then echad nashim chayavin, then both women and men are obligated in that mitzvah. To which the question is, the klalahu, the chav mitzvah says, as man grama nashim turis, is it really a general rule that any time-bound mitzvah a woman is exempt from? I'll bring you many, many cases that it's not so. Hari matzah, we have the mitzvah of matzah, which the first night of Pesach, that's an obligation, a mitzvah say to eat it, as the pasuk says in Shema Yisrael Beis, be'erev toichlu matzahs, in the evening you should eat matzahs. And the only other days, if you want to go ahead and eat meat without eating any bread, you're not obligated to eat matzahs, you just can't eat chametz. And then Simcha, then there's the mitzvah of rejoicing on Yom Tov, which says, V'samach ta'ata uveisecha, that you should rejoice and your household, which includes women. So there you have women obligated in Simcha, although it's a time bound that only comes on Yom Tov time. You have Matzah, which is women are also obligated, as the Gemara Masechta Pesachim and Daf Mem Gimel explains, from a Hekesh, that we compare in the Pasuk, it says, Lo'yseicha lelov chametz, shivas yamim toichelav matzahs. It puts in the same pasuk not eating chametz with eating matzah, which the Gemara there darshens to say that whoever has the prohibition of eating chametz has the mitzvah say of eating matzah, again, which refers to the first night of Pesach. Now, women are obligated in the loisa say of not to eat chametz, because as we said before, that any mitzvah loisa say, women are obligated just like men, as the first parak of Masechet Kedushin explains, because there's a hekesh of women to men for all ancient in the Torah, and therefore we see that they are liable if they do a loisa say, which means that they are mandated to do that. So we see matzah, they're obligated, and simcha of Yom Tov, they're obligated, v'hakel, in the mitzvah of hakel, which comes on the Yom Tov of Sukkot, on the year of Shemitah, that the king stands on a bima, and he reads in front of the whole of Klal Yisrael from Mishnah Torah, which is Sefer Devarim, as it says in the Masechet Saita on Daf Mem Aleph, and there in the pasuk it says, ha'noshim v'ha'noshim v'atav, that women are obligated also, although that only comes once every 7 years. Now, the mitzvah, sasechus man gerama, these mitzvahs are time-bound mitzvahs, v'noshim chayavis, and women are obligated in matzah, simcha, and hakel. So how can you say that any time-bound mitzvah, that they're exempt? And similarly in reverse. Is it really true that any non-time bound mitzvah that women are obligated? I'll bring you many that are, that's not true. Haritama Torah, learning words of Torah, which is Vegis Bayim Allah, you have to learn every second of the day. Women are exempt. As the Pasuk says, Vulamadatem Oisemes Benechem, you should teach the words of Torah to your sons, which the Gemara of their Dashrans say, Vulay Benesechem, and not your daughters. Peribriyavi, we have another mitzvah that is at old times, of procreating, of having children. And it says in the Pasuk, Puravu, you should be fruitful and multiply. Umilu v'kivshu, you should fill up the world and you should conquer it. So the Gemara darshans in Masechtas Yevamos and Daf Samachei Mebeis that who is the type of person that conquers? A man, his type is to conquer. He's a warrior type. A woman is not, and therefore she does not fill the criteria of the pasuk of being mandated in Peruvia, although it's not a time bound mitzvah. And similarly, a pinya ben redeeming the firstborn son. That's an obligation on the father and not the mother, although that's not a specific time when you have to do that. As the Gemara Masechtas Kedushin of Chav Tesem and Alpha says, that it says in the Pasuk, Tifta, that you should redeem. But the way it's read is Tipada, that, and therefore these two terminologies, one of redeeming and being redeemed. So that the Gemara darshan is that whoever is obligated to be redeemed has to redeem when they have their own obligation of their own son. And since a woman does not have to be redeemed, as the Pasuk in Shemayis Gimel says, B'chor b'necha tifta, that the only ones that you redeem are sons, not daughters, and therefore the woman that she doesn't get redeemed, she's not obligated to redeem her own son. And as the Gemara concludes, the mitzvahs of Seishalei Zmangarama, all these three are non-time-bound mitzvahs. Once the obligation starts, they're there as long as they're supposed to be, Talmud Torah, Periviyavya, Pinya Ben, Vinashim Paturas, and yet women are exempt. So how can you give this ironclad rule on both sides, on that when it is time-bound, she's exempt, and not time-bound that she's obligated, but it's not true, we find the exception of both. Elohim Rabbi Yechanan, rather, this is what Rabbi Yechanan was saying on that Mishnah, Ein Lameid Malaklalus, you cannot learn from general rules. And even when it says chutz, even then, when it tells you the exceptions, it's not necessarily only those exceptions, and there might be other ones. So, we also learned, again, regarding this, that Rabbi Yechanan said, even in the place where it says chutz, that it is going to be other things that were not mentioned that will be exceptions to the rule. As we learned in the Mishnah in Masechet Zavin, another general rule they said regarding this tumas of ziva. Called Shanisa al Gabi Hazab, whatever is carried on top of the Zab, which that's called El Yoni Shal Zab, and he's carried on top of the Zab, Tame, that item becomes Tame, as the Pasuk of Yukat Hazvav says, B'chol Asheyir Tachta, whatever will be underneath it. Now, the Gemara Masechet Nida Daf Lamed Gimel and Alf explains, what does it mean underneath it? If it means underneath the Zab, well, that's the halacha we know of Mishkav, that if the Zab is laying on something, that gets a Tum of Mishkav. So why would we need another pasuk to say that? Rather, the Gemara there says, "B'chol Asheyir Hazav Tachtav," whatever the zav will be under that item, which that is what we're calling El Yoni Shel Zav, which is the halacha we're saying over here. Whatever the zav is underneath that item, that means this item is being carried by the zav. So then that item becomes tamei. However, "B'chol Shazav Nisa Olav Tahar," whatever the zav is being carried by that item, in other words, the zav is on top and this item is on the bottom, then the item on the bottom is going to be tar. Chutz Minaro Lemishka V'mayshav, as the pasuk over there is talking about, except something that's fit for reclining or for sitting. However, if it's not fit for reclining or sitting, even though the zav is putting his weight down, it's going to be tar. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Chagiga and Afchav Gimlan Beis, that you would think that if you take a crate where they put stuff inside of it and you turn it upside down and the zav sits on it, and then it's going to become tummy because that's Mishkav Meshav, he's laying on it, he's sitting on it. And that is what the Pasuk tells you, V'hayyushav al-Hakli, that if the Zav sits on the vessel, Asheyeshav alav, on that which he sits on it. Now that seems a little redundant. That comes to teach that only something that's miyuchid for yeshiva, that's designated for sitting. This is not designated for sitting because the workers tell him, get up, we have to turn the right side up to put our stuff inside to do our work with it. And therefore, since it's not designated for sitting or for reclining, it's going to be tar. So again, the only things that will become tummy for the zav reclining on will be either if it's lemishka b'moshav, it's used for reclining or sitting, v'ha'adam, and a man. If a man is carrying a zav, although he's not designated for sitting or for reclining, he will become tummy. As the pasuk says, v'hanoisi oisim, and those that carry them, that includes also the zav, that if he's carrying the zav, then he's going to become tummy. So again, so we said that regarding if the item is on top of the zav, then he'll become tummy. That's called el yoinish al zav. That means the zav is tachtav of that item. But in reverse, if the zav is on top of that item, he'll be tahar. Unless if it's something that's designated for sitting and reclining, which is called mishkav v'mayshav, or a person that the pasuk specifically includes regarding when it says v'hanoisi isim. On that, the question is, Vesuleka, are there no other tumas that related to the Zav with bearing his weight? But we have the halacha of riding, and therefore that halacha of merkab, which is not mishka b'maisha, that if a Zav is riding on something, that will get the tumma of the Zav, and that was not said in the general rule. To which the Gemara says, wait a second, what type of question is that? Hi, merkab heichidami, what is this case of riding? Idi yasibala, if it means that he's sitting on the item that he's riding on, sahayna maisha. That's the same as tumas maisha. So what are you saying? We didn't mention that merkab is really inclusive in the halacha of maisha. So the Gemara says, no, we have a legitimate question. Anan hochik, I mean, what we meant to say was, you have a merkab that you're not actually sitting on. You have the top of the saddle, which you're not sitting on. So therefore, it's like this piece of wood that's in front that you can hold on to, that you're not sitting on yet, that will be included in the tumah of merkab. The time like we learned in the Braisa. Ukif tameh moishav. The saddle gets the tumas of moishav. Yes, it's just for the tumah of sitting, because you're sitting in it. You don't need anything more to make a tummy. However, hatofis, the item that you hold on to, that's of the saddle, that when you're riding, you hold on to that piece of wood, tameh merkab. That gets the tumah of merkab of riding. That's a special chumrah of merkab where you're not sitting on it. So that's not included in mishkab and moishav, and it's not adam. And yet there's another one of merkab. Why didn't we mention it? We said these are the general rules regarding the zav. So therefore, this is what we were saying before, that Abaye was referencing from this Mishnah, Masech Zavin, that ain lamedim min haklalos. You don't learn from general rules, even when it says accepts, because it said exceptions over there. It said except that you're going to be tar when you're sitting on something, when the Zav is sitting on the item, except, it said, if it's Mishkav, Moshav, or Adam. Yet there's another exception of Merkav, that it will become Tamar. So obviously you see that this is the rule, there are exceptions to the rule. And even when I said accept this, there might be other exceptions. Amravina v'item Rav Nachman. Afanam dam tinin. We also learned this from our Mishnah, and that's why we brought in the statement. We said, b'chol ma'arvin u'mishtatvin. With any food item, you can make an Erev, and you can join together with the Mavois. Again, we said that where you put the food is as if everyone has their residence over there, so that it's like one person owns the whole entire area. Chutz b'namayim emelch. Besides for water and salt. So the question is, b'suleka, are there no other exceptions to this? But it could kameim epatris, but there are regarding truffles and mushrooms, that those things are not considered significant enough to make an Erev on, and yet it doesn't say that. And we're saying that chutz b'mayim emelech, but there are other exceptions. Ashma mina in lemeidim in hakolos. Obviously, that you learn this principle that you do not learn from general rules. Even the place where it says except of water and salt, there might be other exceptions too. And that's what Rabbi Yechon was referring to. He was talking about Mishnah Maseches Kedushin. But that's what we're saying, that either it means even in a place where it says chutz, that either means a Mishnah and Zavin, or means our Mishnah, that he was referencing to our Mishnah that said that even though we said exception, there might be other exceptions like Kamei and the Patrias, and that's not included in the chutz. But again, you can't learn that it's an ironclad rule when it says this is a general rule and there are no exceptions. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, again, it was talking about because of Erevin and Tchumen and Shetufim and Avois, but it said that you can make it with any type of food besides water and salt. So the Mishnah said other cases that's besides water and salt. One of them being was regarding the halachas of kesef meiser. That regarding someone has meiser shein, he goes up to Yerushalayim, he has to consume it over there, and he has to buy food items. So that regarding that, you could buy meiser shein food with that money. However, hakol nikach bekesef meiser, the Mishnah said besides water and salt. Again, they're not significant enough to use it for this halach of kesef meiser. So the Gemara brings a machlokes that's in regarding this topic. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Chanina, they had a machlokes. Chad masni a'erev, v'chad masni a'maisa. One learned it regarding the halachas of erev, which is mentioned in our Mishnah, and one learned it regarding the halachas of meiser, which is also mentioned in our Mishnah of meiser sheni, which is regarding the statement of loy shanu, that we didn't learn this, which the Gemara is going to give a qualifying principle in the moment. That qualifying principle they argued about, as the Gemara explains. Chad masni a'erev, one learned it regarding erev, and that is the following statement he learned was going on the halachas of erev. Loy shanu, we did not learn that you cannot use water and salt for the halachas of Erev, elamayim b'fnei atzma, only if you take water itself, again, not significant enough to make an Erev out of it, or melech b'fnei atzma, or salt on its own merit. De'eim arvin, then you cannot make an Erev out of it. Av b'mayim u'melech, but when you take water and salt, and that is that you join them together, then that is considered mazon. That is considered mazon, which you have to do to make your meals over there to say that that's where your residency is going to be, because you could dip your bread into it, so it's considered significant. Then ma'arvin, then you can make an erev. V'chad masni ha'maisa, one learned regarding the halachas of ma'isa. Lo yishanu, we did not learn that you cannot use water or salt separately to be considered for the halachas of ma'isa sheni to buy with the money that you have brought up to Yerushalayim, Elamayim b'fenatzim, only water by itself, Umelech b'fenatzim, or salt by itself. De'enikhen, then you cannot take Maaser Sheni with that money to buy for the water or the salt. Av mayim umelech, but when you mix the two, water and salt, salt water, then nikhen b'mekesem Maaser, then you could purchase salt water with Maaser money with that, with salt water with that money, again, because then it is going to be considered muzzle. So the Gemara explains. One that learns it regarding Maaser, that yes, mayim umelech could be used to purchase with the Maaser money, is kol shkena erev, definitely, so it would work for erev, that it would be considered your meals on there, and that's your residency. However, man de masni erev, the one that says it was only regarding the halachas of erev that we said this for, av Maaser loy, but regarding Maaser, it would not be the case. And even salt water would not be qualified for the halachas of buying with the Maaser money. My time, what's the reason? Because peir b'ina, we need it to be a produce. As Gemara and Amud Beis will learn from a klal prat, which it says a general rule in the pasuk, and it says a specifier, which comes to teach us that it has to be like case specific, and that would exclude even salt water. As the Gemara explains, Ki Azar Reb Yitzchak, when Reb Yitzchak came to Bavel, Masni, he learned this qualifying of Loi Shanu, of that this exception of when they're mixed together, a Maaser, that regarding Maaser, that he said that not only is it mutter by Erev to go ahead and use salt water for it to be considered your meal is there, but even for Maaser, again, which we had a machlokes about, that you could use salt water to buy with the Maaser money. On that, the Gemara asked Maaser, they asked him the following question. Hey, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish lefnei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish said the following testimony from the Rabbi Elazar. Shall base Abbe, he says, by my father's house, how you like consider they would buy brine, because the Maaser with Maaser money, although you have to buy something that's a food product. So he considered, he said, in his father's house, they obviously considered brine as something that could be used to purchase with Maaser money. So Amalai, Rabbi Elazar said to him, Shemalai Shemata, maybe this that you heard from your father's house, maybe you're remembering a little bit incorrectly. Maybe it's elikesha kirvei dagamu ravimhen. Maybe it's only when the fish and intestines were mixed into the brine, because the brine itself is not a pair. That will not qualify to be able to use to purchase with the Maaser money. Maybe when the brine had pieces of fish inside, so that will be good because fish obviously will be included in the heter of buying with Maaser money. So since it had the pieces inside of it, that's why it qualified. But just brine itself, I don't think that would be good. So now the Gemara explains the question that they have on the opinion that says that you could use salt water to go ahead and use the Maaser money to purchase that. So the Gemara says, "Vafili Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, even Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, who is the more lenient opinion in that brisa, leka'amar ela betzir, he was only saying that you can go ahead and use it to buy brine, because the shumna de peri, because at least it is the fat of the product, and that is." Even when you don't have the intestines of the fish mixed in it, which obviously he was arguing on the other opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who said maybe it's only because of a piece of fish, but there is at least some of the fat of the fish with the water and the salt, and therefore it's considered at least on some level like a peyrib. But regarding water and salt, just plain, without any brine of the fish, loy, then he wouldn't say that it could be go ahead and used for mice. And therefore the question is, how can you say water and salt? We have a brisa that both opinions, even the one that wants to say, yes, brine, because the other opinion says you can't even use brine, but brine at least has some fish fat, so therefore it's somewhat of the element of the fish in there. But just water and salt is totally insignificant. How can you say that could be used to buy Maaser money? So Amar Rabbi Yosef says, if we continue on to Amud Beis, Loi Nitzruchot, you're right. It seems to be a legitimate question on Rabbi Yitzchak, but this statement of Rabbi Yitzchak that he said that when you have water and salt mixed together, that you go ahead and use Maaser money to purchase it, was Elish Nasan Lutechi Shemen. Only we was told about a case when you actually put an oil into it. But you're right, water and salt on its own would not be considered peyre, and you wouldn't be able to purchase Maaser money with that. We're talking about that in the salt water, this dip that you're making, it has some oil inside of it also. To which the Gemara asks, I'm going to buy you. If it has oil inside of it, but typically mishum shemen, then just forget about it. Just the shemen itself should be allowed to purchase this product because it has the oil inside, and oil could be purchased with Maaser money. So what do you have? What's the chiddush then that there's water and salt? You're purchasing it because of the oil. So the Gemara says, Loi tzricha, you need to say this chiddush of that you could purchase Maaser money with the fact that there's water and salt of it, even though there's oil. Shenosin demei mayim u'melech b'havlo. When he gave the purchasing price for the water and the salt, inclusive with the oil. And that is, because of the water and the salt that was in there, he had to pay more for the oil, a higher price. And he did what's called havla. He swallowed in the purchasing price. The purchasing price was inflated, so that was including the water and the salt. And that's the chiddush, that even in such a case, Rabbi Yitzchak said it's going to be mutter to purchase the oil although that the water and salt is also going to be part of the pricing. So you would say that, wait a second, you can't pay more money because the money is being allocated, although it's one lump sum, but it's obviously going for the water and salt, and that's not included. That is chedeshes. You're right. Water and salt, and even salt and water together, salt water, would not be able to be used. It's not a payer. But chedeshes is saying that even though you're paying for the oil, but you're making the price much higher to include that, the havlah is a permitted way of getting by and purchasing something that really on its own would not be allowed to, but it's included in havlah. That's a permitted way. To which the Gemara asks, "Havlah mishari? Is that really permitted? Because ultimately, although you're like really paying for the oil, but you're paying a much inflated price for it, you're obviously then paying for the water and salt. How can you actually do that? You can't spend more meister money if really part of it is going for the order for the salt and water, which is not permitted. It's not a pay." And the Gemara says, "And yes, I'll prove to you. V'atani will learn a brisa that shows this principle that you could do what's called havlah, that you could just hike up the price, and really I'm just paying for the oil, but really it's to include the water and salt, which on their own merit would not be permitted." As the Gemara brings a brisa, Ben Bagba says in the pasuk Baboker that regarding the cattle, and that is, this is a pasuk in Devarim Yudal Chavav, which talks about what you could purchase with the maaser money that you have to bring up to Yerushalayim. It says, that you should give the money for whatever your heart's desires, babaka, cattle, batzayin, sheep, babayin, wine, bashecher, and with old wine, whatever your heart asks for. You should eat over there in your shalim in front of Hashem your God, and your household will rejoice. So therefore, it says in the pasuk, babaka, with cattle. So the question is, since the pasuk already said in the beginning, whatever your heart desires, so why do I have to say babakar, batzoin, bayayin, basheicher? They're all extras, because obviously you can buy whatever you want. So I have to say and be specific about cattle and sheep and wine, old wine. So obviously it's coming to tell us different drushes, things we would not have known, and that's coming to extrapolate from these extra words, which are unnecessary. So it says babakar with cattle to Malamada teaches you shaloichin bakar algav oiroi. That not only could you buy the cattle, but inclusive in the cattle will come the hide. And that is, the hide will go out to chulin, and you don't have to go ahead and then sell the hide and to go back and purchase food and eat that Yerushalayim, because wait a second, the hide is maaser money. You can only consume maaser money in an edible type of way, but the hide, that's not being eaten, so I should have to resell that and then to consume every bit, last bit of the maaser money. That is what the Chiddush of Babakar comes to teach you, that no, you can buy the cattle and everything with it, and the hide just goes out to chulin. You could use it for whatever unconsecrated purpose that you want to use it for. That we would not have known, because it has to be eating. The chiddush is that no, the hide you can keep. Then it says ubatzayin, and with sheep. That teaches you even a bigger chiddush. Melamet shaloi kinsayin agav gizasa. That comes to teach you that you can purchase a sheep, and inclusive in that will be the shearings. And that is, even though here there's two elements, the hide of the animal and the shearings, the wool of the sheep, that both of them go out to chulin. That's the chiddush of the extra word of batzayin, to teach you that even there you can go ahead and just use it for whatever you want, and you don't have to resell it to go ahead and consume it in an edible way. Then the pasuk teaches you even a bigger chiddush, uvayayin, and with wine. Melamet shaloichin yayin agav kankan. That teaches you that you can purchase wine with the barrel, and that is, it comes in the earthenware barrel. That's where the wine is kept. Then you can go ahead and use the barrel for whatever you want to. You don't have to go ahead and then resell the barrel and then consume it. And then the Mishnah, and then the pasuk says even a bigger chiddush, uvashecher, and with old wine. Melamet shaloichin temed mishahechmas. This comes to teach you that you can purchase temed, which is a type of alcoholic beverage, from when it ferments, and that is, this temet is that they would put water into the grape pits, and when they would ferment, it would finish turning acidic, alcoholic beverage, then it would be like wine. So therefore, the raya that the Gemara was proving that you could do havlah is from the fact that it says, babakar, that it says the extra word in the pasuk that you could purchase with the maaser money sheep, which we said was unnecessary, which taught you the chiddush that agav oyer, they could even keep the hide. So obviously the concept of havlah, that even the hide by itself is not fit, and you can't go ahead and purchase maaser money with the hide, because it has to be something that's fit to be eaten, as it says in the pasuk v'yachalta, yet with havlah, once I'm purchasing the animal, the cattle, then the hide, I can keep with it. So you see this halachic principle in the halachas of maaser, that once you're purchasing something, included with it could be all the different elements, the peripheral things that come along with it, which will include the hide. That answers our question regarding that, yes, you can purchase maaser money with the oil and the salt, although that's not allowed, but havlah, together with the fact that you're purchasing the oil and you're going to inflate the price, then that's a permitted thing to do. But now the Gemara quotes Omer Rabbi Yechanan. He tries to understand this statement of Ben Bagbag. He wants to break it down, although the Gemara brought the Raya of Avla, but he has just a difficulty in the process of Ben Bagbag's drasha. He says, Man demetagim li babaka, whoever will interpret for me, why, according to Ben Bagbag, the way he's defining the pasuk, that the pasuk had to write the word babaka, aliba de Ben Bagbag, mevilna man the abasir le bemasusa, I will go ahead and carry that person's clothing to the bathhouse. In other words, that was a way of serving someone to say, this guy, obviously, whoever can tell me this pshat, why you need babaka, I understand why all the other words you need to have. And I understand it's a very nice drasha, because you could have learned it out from the first part of the pasuk, which says, whatever your heart desires. And then you need all these things to add on different things I wanted to know. However, I have a difficulty with the word babaka, why that's necessary ultimately. And therefore, if someone could tell me pshat, I'm going to carry his clothing to the bathhouse because he's a greater sage than me. As the Gemara explains, my timer, what was the reason, what was bothering Rabbi Yochanan to say that he didn't understand what was the necessity of the word babaka? So he says, Kulu tzrichi lebar mibaka delay tzarach, because all the words, as Ben Bagbag gave a drasha, are batzayin, basheicher, bayayin, all of them are necessary to teach a certain chedusha which you would not have known from the pasuk, besides babaka, which is not necessary at the end. As the Gemara explains, it goes through all the cases. Mai tzrichi, what was necessary to teach? Because the ikaz rachman babaka, had the pasuk only said babaka, that it was specifying regarding the cattle, so havamina baka hu demizdavin agav oris, I would have only known that chedush regarding the cattle, that you can buy the cattle, and inclusive of that will be the hide, mishum de gufihu. Oh, I would have thought that only there, that the hide is something that's attached to the animal's flesh, and that you cannot skin the animal when it's still alive, so it's part of the animal's body. Therefore, that is what we say. Over there, we say that that's a chiddush, that's really part of the animal, so then you can go ahead and keep the hide, even though it's not an edible item. Avot tzayin, agav gizasa, but regarding the chiddush of a sheep, that even the shearings of the wool that you'd be able to keep, the lav kufihu, which that is not part of the animal, that you could cut off from the animal when it's still alive. So I would think that there would be asr, a malai. Maybe there I would say that there it's not guf of the pair, it's not actually part of the actual product. And there you would have to go ahead and resell that and then to repurchase it, because that's not the same as babakar, where there the actual it's part of the animal. And therefore I needed not only babakar, but batzayin. And then further on the hierarchy. Because Rahman Batsoin Agav Gizas, if I would have only told you the chiddush of the sheep regarding the shearings, because it is attached to the animal. So although you can actually cut it off when it's still alive, but it's still really part of the animal because it's attached to it. But regarding wine in the barrel, there I would think, of course you can't. The barrel has nothing to do with the wine. It's just a container. But once you take out the wine, what does the barrel have anything to do with the wine? It has no association in an intrinsic type of way. So then I would have to resell it and then go ahead and consume it in an edible type of a way. That's why I had to tell you also yain. The ikaz rechman b'yain. Had the pasuk only told you the first three of babakar, batzayin, b'yain, because that's the way of protecting it. So therefore, the barrel does have a relationship to the wine in the sense that it's a protector and of the wine. So therefore, it is intrinsic on some level. But the last case of this alcoholic beverage, from when it ferments, all it is just a flavor. It's not the product at all. It's just water that they would put in this acid of the pits, that the pits give a certain flavor to the water which makes this fermented alcoholic beverage amyloid. I would say there for sure that's not included in purchasing with kesef meiser, because water is not something that you could buy with kesef meiser. And what is this more than just water? It just has a flavor of the grape pits. So why would I be able to buy it? Kasa rechman ha-sheikha, that's right, the pasuk had to tell you also regarding this old wine, that we had to tell you that even there, that not even if it's not really wine per se, it just has the flavor of the pits, still that kiyub alma, that just flavor, will be included in the beverage of temed, which will include something that you could buy with kesef meiser. So we have to tell you all the cases, babakar, batzayin, bayayin, basheicher. However, then he goes in reverse. Now, wait a second, you're right, we have to say all the cases if you're going that way. But then let the pasuk say only in backwards. If the biggest chiddush is sheicher, so just say sheicher. And then I wouldn't have to tell you, because that seems to be the biggest chiddush, and why would I have to tell you then batzayin, babakar, bayayin? So now he goes in back in reverse. Because Rachman the Sheikh had the pasuk only told you regarding old wine, havamina, I would have thought that in truth, this concept of havla, which is what we're saying regarding the hide and of the shearings and of the barrel, that oh, once you're purchasing the wine or the cattle or the sheep, that these things will be included in that. That maybe really that is aser. Maybe that's the case. And this, when we say Sheikh in the pasuk, of either beer or old wine, depending on how you interpret it. That's not really a reference to temet, because obviously it would be temet, and you could be learn out from there that definitely, if you can give, which is the majority of it is water, and yet with havla, so to speak, of the flavor of the grape pits, still you can purchase it. So obviously, if you only said sheikha, you would know all the other cases, and they would be totally unnecessary. So that's not what sheikha would be telling us. I would think, my sheikha, what does the pasuk mean when it says sheikha? It means devela ke'ilas. It means a ke'ilas pressed fig, meaning pressed fig from that place, which is called ke'ilas, that there, those figs would be intoxicating. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Krisis, that whatever eats a devela ke'ilas, a pressed fig of ke'ilas, and it goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he's liable for going into the Beis HaMikdash intoxicated. So I would think when you have the devela ke'ilas, the peruhu, what that is, obviously an edible product because it's figs, aval yain agav kin kana eim aloi, but I would think that only there where it's actual a pri, that's what the pasuk means when it says sheikher, because although it says sheikher, it sounds like a beverage, but it's talking about an intoxicating item, which is a devela ke'ilas. But I would think that regarding wine, to include its barrel, for sure not. Who would tell you anything that regarding havlaz mutter? You don't know that from sheikher. So that's why I had to tell you also yain, to tell you that, oh, not only the wine, because what is wine more than what your heart desires to eat? It's coming to include also the chiddush of the barrel. So that's why I had to tell you also wine. Now, going further back up in the hierarchy, because of Rechman, the yain, like Avkakonai, had I only known the chiddush of wine with its barrel, the hainin nitiruse, which that is the protector, and it's the shmira of the wine. But regarding a sheep with its shearings, that I would say maybe not, because that's not necessary. I mean, because a liquid as wine, you need to have a receptacle, because or else you can't contain it. It's just going to flow away. And therefore, you have to have the barrel. It is almost more intrinsic than the shearings of the animal, because that it doesn't need. You could go ahead and shave it off. And therefore, maybe there that would not be considered so intrinsic as the barrel is to the wine, and therefore you would not be able to keep it, and you would have to resell it to consume it. That's what I tell you, sheep. I feel like I've said that even the shearings would be included in this halach of havla. That once you're buying the sheep, you can even keep the shearings and not have to resell it. But this is where Rabbi Yochanan got stuck, so to speak, with Bidbagbag's drasha. But Babakar Lamali, why do I need the cattle? And that is, if we already taught you the chiddush of havla by tzayin, which has not only hide that you can keep, but even the shearings of wood you can keep. Now, that definitely would include Babakar, which that has one thing less even. It has just a hide and no wool. And therefore, why do I need to say Babakar? If you're going the way he said it, Babakar, Batzayin, Bayam, Shekha, yeah, then you would need it. But if you go in reverse, which the Pasuk could have just said, only the last three cases, not the first one, what do you need Babakar for? What is it teaching us that we don't know from Batzayin already? So then the Gemara says, wait, Bechitim, if you're going to say, Ila Kasrachman the Babakar, had the Pasuk not said also regarding the cattle, have I mean that since I would have thought when the Pasuk says regarding the sheep, that Chiddush, Agav Oira in, that I would only think regarding the sheep, the only thing that we include in Havlah is the hide of the sheep. But I would not know to say even a bigger chiddush, that even the shearings also are included, and therefore, that's why the pasuk had to tell you regarding the cattle, to say, oh, we already have an inclusive element, a drush of the hide, because we know that from the cattle. And therefore, so now I have another ribuy of tzayin of sheep. Oh, so that's not telling me hide, because I know that from the cattle already. That must be telling me not only the hide, but another thing, even the shearings. But the Gemara says, you can't say that. Eloi Kazrachman the Bakr, had the Pasuk not said cattle, Loi Havamina Tzayin Algav Oirein, I would not have said that the sheep would only be telling me yes, the hide yes, Algav Gizas Eloi, but the shearings not. Dim Kain, because if that would be the case, that Tzayin, that sheep, is not coming to permit the shearings, rather, it's only coming to permit the hide of the sheep, then the Pasuk would not have said Tzayin. It wouldn't have said sheep, it would have just said Bakr, cattle, which don't have shearings. As the Gemara says, Lichta Rachman Bakr, so let the Torah just say cattle. To Mela, Yatu Leit Tzayin. So therefore, you definitely have an extra word of Tzayin. And therefore, the difficulty is, V'kivin the Chas Rachmon Tzayin, L'maisa. The Torah writes sheep. That Filag Av Gisasa, obviously is teaching you even the shearings. Because if the Torah wanted to teach you hide, it wouldn't say the word Tzayin. It would say the word Bakr. The fact that it's saying sheep is obviously teaching you not only hide, but even shearings. So Babakar Lamali, why do you need the word Babakar, that regarding cattle, and that would include the hide, hashtet sein agav gizas mizdavne, if you could buy, from as we see from the word sein, not only can you buy the sheep, that includes the hide and the shearings, bakar agav oyer mibayah, Do I need to say that regarding the cattle that it's going to be inclusive with the halacha of havla regarding the hayin also? That's what the Gemara says. Hayin dekam Rabbi Yechonon. This is what Rabbi Yechonon meant when he said, "Man demetargem li babakar aliba demen bagbag." Whoever could interpret for me the extra word babakar in the pasuk, according to where the bagbag was interpreting, "Mavil no man li lebei mesus." I will bring his clothing to the bathhouse. I will serve him because I don't understand this. Obviously, you don't need this word babakar. So that was where he Rabbi Yechonon quote unquote got stuck. Ba'akapam, what we see from this Gemara is that Havla is Mutter, and therefore that concludes what we brought this in for regarding the case that we said there was a one mandamah that says that Mayim and Melech could be used to purchase Kesa Maisa, which the Gemara asked, wait a second, we see from a Braisa that no one allowed just salt water. They argued, they debated regarding Tzir, regarding this gravy, this brine, and therefore the teretz that the Gemara gave was, yes, you're right, it's not just water and salt, it's water and salt and oil. The Gemara asked, wait a second, oil itself on its own merit. We said, no, wait, you're making a much higher price for the oil because of the salt and the water. And then the Gemara says, wait a second, that's Havla, is Havla Mutter? And that's what the Gemara brought in this whole discussion to show you that, yes, Havla is Mutter, as we find these are the ribuim that Ben Bagbag says, that you find that not only could you purchase the item, but even things that come along with it, also, that's called Havla, it gets swallowed up with it, and that's a permitted way of using Maisa money, to which Rabbi Yochanan just had a difficulty, as we just went through that discussion about, I understand all the cases that you're using Havla for, which are bigger Chedushim than the other, but I don't understand where Babakar fits in over here, because you know that already from Batzayin. Now the Gemara goes back to a discussion that we had on Amud Aleph, but my komiflagi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Eliezer, what is this machloek? Is that on the one hand, we have Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish and Rabbi Eliezer, that we said that both of them say that you could definitely purchase fish with Maaser money. The only machloek they had was regarding brine. That was on the bottom of Amud Aleph, and that's where it came in with this discussion that they only said brine, but definitely not salt water, in which the Gemara says, you're right, no one will say you could use salt water for Maaser money. It was a discussion regarding adding oil to it, which we spoke about. So they both agree that fish for sure you could buy with Maaser money, but brine is where they had this machloekis. Yet v'hani tanoi d'lekamon, we have these tanoim later on that they darshan. It's that the classification of the Maaser that's being purchased with the Maaser money has to be a pre from a pre, which means a product from a product, and has to be geduli karka, has to be something that grows from the ground, and it also has to have the third criteria is vlad desaris, has to be something that was a derivative from the ground. Which both of those tanoim exclude dagim, they exclude fish, that you can't use fish as a purchasing item with the Maisa money, and definitely won't work for brine. So the question is, what are they arguing about? Why are these two tanoim on Amud Aleph, they say yes, fish for sure, yes, the only machlokes is regarding brine, and yet these tanoim later on, they say not only brine not, but even fish not. What is their machlokes about? So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish Rabbi Eliezer, darish ribuye umeute. The way they interpret Sukkim is they interpret it with what's called inclusive and exclusive, meaning adding and diminishing. V'hani tanoi and the tanoim later on, they are darshi kloli prati. They interpret the psukim with generalizations and specifications. In other words, basically, there's two different ways to interpret a psukim, and that is when the pasuk gives a general type of a statement, and then it gives a more particular type of a statement. There's really two ways of viewing this, and these are from the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaTorah. There are ways that the Torah interpreted, and Hashem gave us by Har Sinai certain tools how to use it to analyze and to interpret the Torah. There's two different views in how this is used regarding one of the Midrash. Is it used that we use a ribui, which means it includes everything when it says a general statement, and then miute just excludes a particular item, and then that's what ribui miute ribui is, or is it no? That there's a cloud, is it what we call a general statement. It's not including everything, it's just generalizing. Then it says a prate, then it says a specific type of an item, which means that this is the qualifying type of an item. It's not just excluding one thing. It says qualifying that whatever is going to be included has to be somewhat like this prat, like this paradigm, like this one example that we're giving. And then it ends up with another cloud. Again, that is how it's darshan. This is what they're arguing about, as the Gemara explains. They interpret the psukim with including everything, and then an exclusion, which is only excludes like one type of an item. As the Gemara brings from the pasuk that we mentioned before, that you'll give your money, again, this is talking about the maisa money, that you go ahead and you take your produce, you sell it, you take up money, because it would be too much to take all your produce to your shalim. Get the money, go to your shalim, you go ahead and then you buy produce over there, so you can buy whatever your heart's desire. Riba, that's an inclusive statement that includes almost that's anything that you want to eat. Then the pasuk says, "Babakar, cattle, batzayin, sheep, bayayin, wine, basheker, and old wine." Now, miyat, that's diminishing it. That's being more exclusive, saying, wait, it's saying certain types of items, not everything. It's saying these type of items. Then the pasuk says, "Uvuchol asher ta'ashalcha navshecha," whatever your heart asks for. Now, chazer riba. Then the pasuk is going back and including everything. So you have riba, miyat, riba. You have all-inclusive, then exclusive, then inclusive. Riba, so how do you understand this? Riba hakol. It's coming to include everything. My Rabbi, what's including? Riba kol mili, it's including everything. Anything you want to purchase to eat, go ahead. Go to the pizza store, go to the shawarma store, whatever you want to buy, go ahead and buy. Umay mid, but then what are we excluding? So that's where we have the machlokes between these two opinions of Rebbe Elazar and Yehuda ben Kaddish. Rebbe Elazar miyatzir, he was excluding gravy, brine. The Yehuda ben Kaddish meet my Melech, he says, no, brine is still included in everything. And we're excluding something even lower down on the totem pole, which is water and salt. However, but the other tanoim, darshi kloli aprati. The way they interpret the psukim of this midah is a general rule, and then a specifier, which specifies what's supposed to be the tanoim. Like within the brisa, how these tanoim interpret it. It says in the pasuk that we just quoted, that you'll give money for whatever your heart's desire. Klal, that's a general rule. Whatever you want to purchase. But then the pasuk says, babakor, batzayin, bayayin, basheicha, prat. Now we're specifying, not just everything. I'm telling you on the grocery list what items you can purchase. But then the pasuk says, b'chol asher tal shenavshecha, whatever your heart asks for. Now, chazav akal. It goes back and it gives a general statement again. So, klal uprat to klal. You have a general statement, a specifier, and a general statement. I'ata don elke ena prat. That means that you can only interpret the pasuk for something that's similar to the specifiers. So on some level, although it's not just these four items, but it has to be similar to those four items in the characteristics. That what does that teach you in this case? Maha prat meforish, just like all these specifiers, that they're explicit in the sense that they're pre-mipri, they're a product from a product, and that is all these items, for example, a calf is born from its mother, a cow. A sheep, it's also born from its mother. Grapes come from the pits, which you plant the pits, which are from the grapes. In other words, all these items are they're a product from the product that they come from, which is a product from what it comes from. Therefore, they all have that element. And vigiduli karka, they're also things that grow from the ground. How so? Because even animals, they all are fed, and their growth comes from the ground. So even animals on some level are called giduli karka. And obviously vegetables definitely grow from the ground. But even animals grow from the ground, they guess where they get their nourishment from. So therefore, av kol pri mi pri begiduli karka. So therefore, anything that wants to be included in this klal prat to klal has to be a derivative, has to be a product from a product, and has to be something that grows from the ground, at least on some level, its nourishment, its development. Something has to be getting something from the ground. Yet b'tan yidach, we learn another brisa, and this is the brisa that's going to be the important one, the tanoim that argue on Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yehuda ben Kaddish. Says over there a little different version, although they also learn klal prat to klal. But they take it a step further. The way they interpret this is maha prat mefurish, just like the specifier is explicit in that it's vlad vladis haaretz, has a third element that the first brisa did not talk about, that it's a derivative of something that was created from the ground by maisa v'reishis, that all these things that we spoke about regarding the kes of maisa, babakar, batzayin, bayayin, b'sheicha, they were all created from earth when the world was created. So av kol vlad disaris. So also anything else that you want to consume with the ma'aser money has to be something that's a derivative from a derivative that ultimately by ma'aser bereishis, by the 6 days of creation, were created from the earth. Now my benai, what's the difference between the two of them? They seem to be saying the same thing. Pri mipri, geduli karka, and the other one adds on the word vlad disaris. What's the difference? They're talking about it's a derivative from a derivative. And that amar baya dogim iki benai. The difference between these two brises, which will be related to the machlokes that they have on Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yehuda ben Kaddish, is regarding fish. Because Laman Dama Primi Privi Geduli Karka, that they only had two criteria of the specifiers, that has to be a product from a product, and has to be something that grows on some level from the ground. So Hanu Dogim Geduli Karka Ninu. That fish definitely come from fish, and therefore it's Primi Pri. And it also, on some level, it grows from the ground, because this Tana that learns that the fish, they nourish from the ground. So although they eat things from the thing, but they are related to the same ecosystem, and they're consuming, and their growth is coming somewhat from the ground. However, lamanda amav vlad vladis haaretz, but according to the one that says that it has to be a derivative from the river that was created from the earth, dogim mimayi ivr. In the sheshes mevreishes, in the 6 days of creation, fish were not created from the element of earth, rather they were created from the element of water. And therefore they will not be included in that inclusion of the klal prat the klal from what we see that you could buy with kesef meiser. And that's why these Tanoim say fish not. And Blaza and Rabbi Yehuda and Gadol said fish yes, because they learned ribuy, or they could even technically learn klal prat the klal, but like the other brisa, that they would learn that only two specifiers. They don't say that the criteria that we're comparing it to is the vlad this haaretz element. And therefore, again, regarding kesef ma'isa, what we had is according to the one that said ribu miyut, that yeah, definitely fish you could. Then we had a machlokes regarding tzir. Is that going to be the miyut to that? Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda Gadish. And then regarding klal prat, definitely not brine, because that's not a pre-mipri and that's not gedulei karka. The brine doesn't grow from that, doesn't eat off the ground, doesn't grow from there. But there was a machlokes regarding fish. And that is why, again, the machlekes would be totally in these two ways of interpreting the psukim of either ribu miyut ribu or klal prat klal.